What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Delaney Fisher.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
This episode, super dope, all about focus.
super dope.
You know,
Snoop's dope, man.
Snoop's dope topic on focus. I don't even think I say that word very much.
I've like, never
focus?
Heard it. Oh, I thought you meant dope. I was like, I've never heard
that
you
too.
Say dope. Okay. Yeah, focus. But this is a requested topic.
It is. This was originally originally recommended by our listener Courtney, and then it was voted on by all of our patrons on Patreon. So this is the Patreon winner of last month. So yeah, join patreon.com/selfhelpless if you want to get rewards and vote on topics and interact with other helpsters and all kinds
it's
of cool
best.
Stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bonus fun. Episodes, baby.
Super fun.
We have some quotables.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's do it. Fire them off.
Kick it off.
Okay, I've got one from Facebook from Josh Schwartz. He posted a quote that says, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." That
Ooh,
is from Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, French
oui,
idealist
oui.
philosopher and Jesuit priest.
Oh, I love
beautiful.
That. Yeah. That makes me less scared of death. That
that's
quote.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a
I
good
love
one.
That. We got another one from Facebook. This was posted by Taylor McEwen. It says, plant your own garden instead of waiting for someone to bring you flowers.
Mm. Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
We talk about it all the time. Don't sit and wait around for an opportunity to come knocking on your door. You
yeah.
got to make that. You got to go knock on all their doors.
Yeah.
Also, freaking knock them over.
Yeah. In that same vein, go buy yourself some flowers. Also, I feel like that's like the nicest little treat yourself that we forget to do.
Yeah.
Flowers cost like five nice. Or 10 bucks. And like...
$3.99 at Trader Joe's.
Hell yeah.
So,
oh, really?
Oh, so cheap at Trader Joe's. You got $2.99, $3.99, $4.99 for a little pot. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I used to work there. That's why.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Join our Self-Helpless podcast closed Facebook group. Post all your quotables in there and they'll be talked about on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for feeding us quotes.
Yeah.
I love
so the best, lovely. Best snacks for your soul.
Yes.
I have a good shit.
I
got to do something cool. I don't know if this comes out, if this thing that I did will be out yet, but I got to do Pete Holmes' podcast, You Made It Weird, which
yay.
Yay. Which you know was very nice. Ron Funches recommended me for it, I guess, which was very sweet because I did not know Pete at all. But his podcast came out when I was like 17.
Wow.
And still very religious and had been doing stand-up for like a year and a half and didn't know of any other stand-up comedians who were like struggling with that stuff and like mm-hmm. talking about it. You just don't most stand-up comics I feel like are atheists or mm-hmm. agnostic or yeah. that and then I was in like this church this Christian comedy world, you know, to where I didn't even know. And I talk about it a lot on the podcast. So whenever it comes out, you guys can hear all of that over again in great detail. But everyone here already knows. But it was really cool. It was a very surreal thing to, and I hope, I don't remember all of what I said. I hope I wasn't too gushy. But like that podcast was really important to me. Like when I was like 17 to 22, like I listened to not as much comedy podcasts anymore because you're just so in it and you don't want to absorb things and you want to kind of like give your mind a break. Now that I do it full time. But yeah, those earlier years when I was starting out and I didn't quite know what I believed or what I wanted to do with comedy and where I fit into all of it. Like I just listened to that super religiously. So it was super cool and weird to be on it myself years later. So yeah, so look out for that. That was so a cool thing. Taylor. And but the coolest thing about it was
oh boy.
That gosh. This is the coolest thing. I met Pete and his beautiful wife who just had a baby. Like, I don't even know, like 6 months ago or something. And I got to hold the baby after the podcast. And it was the best part. And it was so cute. I mean, I genuinely, like, they were showing me the baby and I genuinely almost started crying. And I was like, please don't. I was like, don't. I was like, don't be weird. Taylor, like, you've made it this far. Like, you can go to your car in 10 minutes. It's the cutest baby, first off. It's just adorable. It was like giggling. She's so precious. And they were like, yeah, if you want to, like, wash your hands, like, you can totally hold her. And I was like, okay. So I was like I have to, after like 3 minutes I was like, I have to give her back to you because I feel too much like I can't keep doing this, like I can't get too invested. Like if I had held her for 3 more minutes I would be pregnant right now.
Oh my god
I don't even know if that's physically possible. I did the podcast on Monday, it's Thursday. Yeah, but it's I would have gotten home like, look, we're gonna make some changes around here. Yeah, oh my gosh. And I get like, it wasn't, everyone listening is like, but was it crying? No, it wasn't. It was super happy. Right. So I get that it was a positive baby experience. I'm very sure. But yeah, oh my gosh, stirring up some feelings.
Oh my god. Man. So yeah, go look right now, you guys, to see if on Pete's podcast, You Made It Weird, if Taylor's episode is up yet.
Yeah, because this will come out.
I can't
out
wait
a couple
to
weeks.
Listen to it. That's so exciting.
Yeah,
it's all stuff Pete you've Holmes. Heard.
Yes.
Yeah, I've loved him forever.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
I'm proud of you. Yeah, the baby. I mean, I could hold a baby and not feel any of those things. So like, really? That is just.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, definitely.
I can look at a baby like, this is a cool baby. What do you do with it for fun? And
what do you do with
its outfit
for fun?
And oh, where'd you get his little hat? You know, but never like. Oh my
There's God. No lasting oh impact. God. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And maybe I just haven't met the right baby. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
Have you ever seen someone with like a shirt that you were like, where'd you get that shirt? I'm gonna go buy it. That's how I felt about the baby.
Wow.
Where'd you get that baby? Look, I know this isn't my shirt, but I'm gonna go get one.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Do you have a thing?
I have a couple things, but you can say yours.
I was gonna say, I have a couple. I have a good shit moment. So part of my lifestyle changes the last like 6 months or so is I've been home a lot more and I'm, you know, more free time on weekends and stuff. So I've been seeing my siblings a lot more and they're getting older. And I got just a really sweet text message from my 17-year-old baby sister the other day saying that she just loves me so much and she's so happy she gets to see me more. Aww. And that I'm such a great role model to her. Aww. And I'm like, oh my God. This is so nice. And I don't think she obviously didn't realize how much it meant to me because I'm like, this is the stuff that I really, one of the biggest reasons I did it for. Yeah. And it like, oh, it's affecting more than just me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like being able to see them more often and kind of be around more. Just, I can't even remember the last time I was able to just kind of like go over there and like, hey, I got no plans for the whole day. What should we do? Yeah. You know? And it's like, it made me realize like, wow, I really like missed a lot.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No. I'm just thinking like, wow, how cool would it be to have Delaney as an older sister?
Oh my God. So I feel like I do. Like, oh yeah. Honestly.
But that's such a dream. I'm just thinking like, wow, to be 17 and have Delaney be your older. Like I could not picture a cooler, better older
cute.
Sister to have. That's so
cute.
Nice.
So yeah, that was a good shit moment.
Are you pregnant? Because
you've been crying a lot lately.
Dude, it could be my sad.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
SAD. I don't know. I am also like about to start or on my period, so that could be part of it. But yeah, no, I've been crying a lot lately.
Yeah, we've like never seen you cry, and in the last 2 weeks, we've seen you cry like three times.
I know.
Someone's preggo.
I like something. But no, I'm going through some weird, I think it's hormonal. I really do. I know that I am affected by the weather stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it any easier to like pull yourself out of it knowing it's temporary. Like even if you know you're like a little bit off temporarily, it's still... You're shitty going through it.
Yeah, totally.
But I was talking to, I think I was talking to Kelsey the other day about how it's weird that like for like 6-7 years, I was working towards this goal to like, I want to be my own boss. I want to be, do something creative for a day job, all that stuff. And it finally happened. And now I'm in like a weird space where I'm like, okay, I did it now. I mean, I'm not, it's not like I fucking figured everything out, but I'm like, I'm doing this thing or like I'm in this like kind of, have this lifestyle that I've been wanting, and now like, now what is next? Like I feel like okay, well now what do I want to accomplish next? And I'm like, why can't I just be fucking chillaxed and enjoy the fact that it's finally here? What I've been working towards is here. But it's kind of like when you guys talked about like having a milestone where you like do the Tonight Show or you do Conan or whatever, and it's like, I did it, and now what's the next thing that I gotta do, or the next thing on my list that I want to accomplish? And so I'm in a weird spot, like, okay, well,
yeah.
It's like, why can't I just be?
Yeah, just for be for a while. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's what tough. Is that? It's so, so stupid.
I know.
But it's like almost like I miss the holy shit, the I got striving. No time. And yeah, maybe a little of the adrenaline and the struggle.
Yeah.
And the this and the fucking, I'm, you know, I'm gonna get there one day. And then it happened, and now I don't feel like I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. I feel stable. Yeah. And now I'm like,
yeah,
what is this?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. So maybe that could be part of it where I'm like, I don't really know what to do with myself.
It's a transition. It's you're weird. Still so early in it. It's only been 2 months. It's kind of like, you know, my mom is recently retired. And I know that when people go through retirement, there's such an adjustment process.
Oh,
because you're thinking, oh, I can't wait to be retired. I can't wait to be retired.
Yeah.
And then you are, and you're like, what is this? I've never done this. I've never been this person before who just doesn't have anything to do. And it's not that you don't have anything to do, and it's not that people who are retired don't have anything to do, but it's just, it's very different.
Yeah.
And people are used to a certain pace. And so and then you're recalibrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take
like,
a little while.
It's like nothing's urgent because I give myself enough time to complete things.
Yeah.
And that wasn't what was happening before.
Do you feel like you're having some adrenaline withdrawal maybe?
Perhaps.
Because people talk about that when you do wean yourself off of the adrenaline addiction a little bit, that you can feel depressed and anxious.
I've totally considered myself a workaholic. So if I'm like recovering in recovery.
Yeah.
And it's not something that goes away. Yeah. It's just something that you manage. And so I'm like managing it, but it feels weird to get something done with days of time before it was due.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving myself better guidelines and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, when I was like working the day job and running Dick's by Delaney and doing all these things, I was like, I was getting to the post office at 6:59 and it closed at 6 to get things shipped off in time.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? I was like cutting everything. Everything was so cutting it so close. And now I'm like, now that I'm home and I can like block my schedule off, I'm giving myself enough time to do things and then I complete them and I'm like, wow, okay. I'm not frantic running around the apartment.
Yeah.
It's just like peaceful. why am I not like, why am I can't make this okay for me a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. It's
real mindful.
Ongoing thing.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I have a couple good shits. So when this episode comes out, it will have been mine and Kane's 7-year anniversary a week ago.
That's awesome.
Thanks. Thanks.
That's exciting.
So yeah, it's just, that's kind of, I mean, I've never been with somebody for 7 years. And yeah. I think honestly, the longest before him was like 2 years, 2.5. So it's been one of those things for the last several anniversaries of like, oh, I haven't been with somebody for this long or this long. But 7 years, I'm just like, wow, that's, that's a milestone. That's like a, that's a long time. So yeah. I just feel really proud. It's like cool to stop and be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
7 years, man. So we're both here in town and we're gonna like go have dinner at our favorite place and
just at Din Tai Fung.
Din Tai Fung. You know it. And just kind of try and have like a fun, spontaneous day, not plan it out too much. But I also have like a good man button moment because we still have HelloFresh. Which I love so much. And he cooked a dinner, this was a few nights ago, and didn't realize that I was allergic to one of the ingredients. And I didn't realize until it was too late. And so he'd been like cooking this like beautiful meal in the kitchen for an hour. And he like comes over to me with the plate and is like, here's your plate. Like, you know, so sweet and excited. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, does this sauce have wine in it? And he's like, I like, what is that word? Is that like a type of wine? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh no. And so I was like, obviously super let down. And I'm like, I'm hungry. That's the worst thing. Yeah. I get so mad at my body because I'm just like, why the fuck can't you just eat things? Like, it's so frustrating and inconvenient. And then I also felt horrible because he had just spent all this time cooking and now I can't eat what he made. So rather than, like, I was like, I'll just like try and make myself like, I'll make myself like a sandwich or something. Which like at the end of the day, you want like a warm meal. I was just like, oh, this sucks, whatever. I'll make myself a sandwich. He's like, you know what? No, just here. Like, I'm gonna run it in and out. He's like, I can eat mine later and I'll eat yours like tomorrow or something like that, but I'll just run it in and out. So he drove to In N Out, waited in the long drive through line, came back, and he came back. He had only gotten food for me. Like, he didn't even go to get food for both of us. He literally just went to, like, get me food. And then I was like, why didn't you get yourself something, too? I thought that's where you were going. He's like, no, it's just, like, this is for you, and I'll eat that steak thing in a little bit. But, yeah, I just want to make sure. Aww. And I'm like, are you cheating on me? Like, because he's so selfless. Like, it was one of those moments where I stopped and was like, I need to remember this because there have been times where like he's sick or something. And he's like, you know what sounds really good is if like you went and got me pho. And I'm like, haha, yeah, no. I literally think he's joking. I'm like, am I going to drive all the way over just to get pho or whatever? But he would do that for me. Like, that's the reality, is that I wasn't even sick.
Yeah.
Like, he just had cooked me a meal that I couldn't have and was like, here, let me go get you something that you can have.
It was so selfless.
And he really does make me like want to be a better person and a better partner every day, because he just like goes above and beyond. And there are times where like, I know I can be selfish and just, I mean, I think I'm a good partner too, but just little things like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind going out of his way to pick something up. And I'll be so like,
I'm feeling drained all that way.
He's like, anyway, so good man.
That's so nice.
Good man.
So nice.
He's a good
man. That's it. That reminds me, I think Kathy Heller's one who talked about doing this, where like when you said, I need to remember this, I think she writes down and keeps it in her phone, like a bunch of nice things that her husband has done for
her.
That's
a great idea.
So before, maybe if she's feeling, you know, if she's feeling like insecure about like, does he actually love me that much? Or maybe if you're annoyed with your partner or whatever, you read all this whole list before like reacting to it. And it just puts you in then like, oh my God, remember all this great shit this person does for you? I'm going to be doing that. And I do that kind of automatically because I have to, because Cam is a very messy individual and I'm constantly like talking myself down from a ledge. And so I'm constantly reminding them, like, okay, remember this? Oh God, he's so great. Oh yeah. I love him so much. Okay.
Yeah.
I won't yell at him about this.
I need that so badly.
But like having it in your phone, just like real quick access, I think that's a really great quick little tip.
That's a great tip.
Write down all these like nice little specifics that your partner does for you.
That's an amazing tip.
I will
do that.
A list of what you do. See, put it in his phone.
See, that's where I go, and I can't do that. I can't. I'm always making those tallies.
Keep it in your phone for the special fight where you gotta boom.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Well, because he won't do it.
Yeah, so exactly. He doesn't need that list. He doesn't like get mad at me for anything. I'm always the one like nitpicking shit. So
he doesn't have to know about the list. It could be a secret list.
I need that list.
Oh, man.
Anyway. All right. Should we get into the meat here?
Let's do it. This is all about focus, everybody. I thought we'd start off with the definition. This is from Merriam-Webster. A state or condition permitting clear perception or understanding. A center of activity, attraction, or attention. This other definition is from the American Psychological Association Dictionary. The concentration or centering of attention on a stimulus.
Man, even just hearing those definitions, I'm like, oh, I don't have very much focus.
Yeah.
I don't feel in that state very often in my life.
Say it in smaller words.
Yeah.
I know.
And then we have some statistics about focus. Every single second, our brains take in an incredible amount of information, 11 million bits of information per second, to be exact.
What?
But we pay attention to about 40 bits.
Whoa.
That's...
What?
How's that's that crazy. Possible?
That's nuts. So I guess it's true. Beyond just like what you're thinking, like your body is just like sensing things.
Yeah, you're looking at the
goddamn 11 million bits of information per second. Wow. This is from a survey by Udemy. Do you guys know what that is? Udemy. 70% of workers admit that they feel like distracted when they're on the job, 16% asserting that they're almost always distracted on the job, and 74% of millennials and Gen Zers report feeling distracted on the job. Also, Larry Rosen, who's a PhD in research psychology, says that we rarely focus and attend any task for more than 3 to 5 minutes before getting distracted, primarily by emails, texts, and social media. That is the absolute truth.
Oh my God. Yeah. Nothing murders focus like just scrolling through Instagram real quick. I've lost so many hours of my life to Instagram.
Crazy. Or just like responding to texts or emails that like you feel is urgent but isn't really. And then like 3 hours go by and you're like, what did I just do for 3 hours?
Yeah.
Like I didn't do the things that were on my list, but.
Or
you know?
Procrastinate responding to things. I'm really bad about that where I have been bad about this lately where like I feel like in the last year I've been trying to be less like urgent, less of that like workaholism thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put my phone down more. But then if I put something off and I don't do it right away, I'll forget about it because there's so much other stuff always coming in and going on.
Yeah.
So it's like finding that balance is so, so hard.
Yeah.
Do you guys find yourselves like if you're having a thought or something, like upsets you and then you quickly grab for your phone to just like distract yourself and bury it. I find myself catching myself more and more and being like, okay, why did you just grab your phone just now? Like what was the thought or the feeling you had that you're now trying to suppress?
Yeah.
And just trying to like be with that thought a little bit more rather than like keep pushing it away.
I don't do the phone thing. I start decluttering and cleaning. That's where my stuff comes out. It's like if I've had like a weird day or meeting with somebody or like just anything that makes me feel uncomfortable, I come home, I clean the apartment, I go through stuff.
Interesting.
That's where all my anxieties kind of, you know, are released into the stuff.
Yeah.
Very strange. Very
cool. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, as far as like dealing with focus, I mean, I feel like everybody has such personal ways of like trying to be more focused. Something I've been doing lately, which I've just tried this a few times. It seems to work, but I don't know if it's more of a placebo thing. I've heard good things about. Have you guys tried that Alpha Brain stuff at all?
What is that?
It's at Whole Foods. It's like a supplement powder that you like put in your water and you shake it up and it's like supposed to help. I pulled up the ingredients. Yeah. I pulled up the ingredients. I mean, it's
like vitamins crazy.
And supplements. Yeah, I mean, it's not caffeine. So there's that.
I wonder if it's a placebo effect.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. But this is what's in it. Vitamin B6, L-tyrosine, L-theanine, oat straw extract, AC11 cat's claw extract, alpha GPC, bacopa, a lot of things that I don't know, but they explain it in this. I found this article. If you go to braintropic.com, it talks all about it. because it's supposed to be an outstanding arsenal of natural ingredients. So it goes through everything. It's like, you know, like vimpocetine, like who knows what that is? Nobody. And it's
like
a
this.
It's a neurovasodilator that increases blood flow in the brain, thus increasing cognition.
See, I don't want to fuck.
I don't want to fuck
that.
With that either, dude. I think
it's in a powder.
With it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know. That seems weird.
I don't like anybody doing like the 5-hour energies or any of that shit. I'm like, mm-hmm. That just seems not natural.
This seems natural though. This doesn't seem like a 5-hour energy
I
thing.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't even think the issue of focus is even our fault or problem. I think it's a societal thing. I don't think we were built to focus on something for 5-6 hours at a time. If we're
that's
like
Adderall.
If we're
Adderall,
going, right, yeah. Like if we're going back to like hunter-gatherer days, we're supposed to be moving and outside and running around and catching shit and talking right. to people for maybe 2 words at a time and then going to do something else. I don't think we're supposed to be in freaking inside cubicle offices every day. Like I don't think that's how we're meant to be running. Like all of these like tips and tricks and stuff are great, but also like maybe our bodies are trying to say something like, hey, this is not what you're supposed to be doing.
That's really right? interesting.
Maybe
that's a really good perspective.
Because if that's just how you're naturally, if you're naturally constantly like kind of, I mean, like I know that how our society is now, like that's how you have to function, but yeah. And how you have to keep your job, but like we need to be taking lots of breaks and walking around and doing other shit and playing, you know, and I don't know. I just.
Yeah. And a lot of the tips I read. Problem. Yeah. A lot of tips I read like fall under that for sure of like creating a gadget free zone, you know, so mm-hmm. your phone's not there. But if you're trying to focus on work, that's not really an option. You know,
right.
You can't answer emails without gadgets.
Yeah.
Get outside was on a lot of things that we read. Get outside, taking a short break.
Yeah.
But like getting outside, they reference as like taking a break.
Right.
Something that I do that, you know, we can do because we're comedians, is if I listen to a set, I mm-hmm. mean, sometimes it's helpful to just sit down so that I can write things down.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I want to really like go through something line by line. But a lot of the times I will take like a long walk and mm-hmm. listen to stand-up sets
mm-hmm.
Because that does actually help me focus on it, weirdly enough, doing something else. Because I saw a lot of articles that were like, multitasking is not a thing. Like, that's not going to work. Don't do that.
Right.
But I do feel like that can help sometimes. Like, especially too, when I was in college and I was like doing homework, sometimes it would help to just have like The Office on in the background.
Yeah.
So you're almost like, no, this isn't that horrible. I'm watching The Office, you know, but you're not really, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more like when I think of multitasking, it's like trying to send this email and booking a doctor's appointment on the phone and cooking dinner. You know what I mean? I think that like having something in the background is like a very passive thing that doesn't really need a lot of your focus, right? It's kind of like background noise.
Yeah. This says we have to retrain our brains to respond based on a set schedule rather than spontaneous cues like an alert or a notification. Ooh, that's good for the phone stuff because if something pops up, you're like, oh, I got to deal with this right now.
Yeah.
And that can break your focus. But if you set a schedule for yourself and go, I'm going to stick to this. This is what I'm doing right now. I'll take care of emails later. Like if you can put everything.
Yeah.
It's just so hard when you're self-employed because there's so much less structure.
Yes.
So if you're out there feeling less structured because of your job, we are with you. Use motivating self-talk, create a to-do list, which helps clear your head of thoughts popping into your mind. And there's nothing more satisfying than crossing things off a to-do list. I think we all love that. And then Joseph Cardillo, PhD, talks about performing a daily self-scan, which is designed to bring your thoughts, behaviors, and situations in harmony to help you accomplish the goals at hand. So these are the self-scan questions for anybody who wants to try this and for the three of us here. Number one, where am I at the moment? Example, I'm at an office meeting.
Okay.
Number two, what do I want to gain from this situation? Identify your goals in order of importance.
Like
so
that.
To go off of the office meeting, maybe your goal is to, you know, jump in and impress your boss with an idea. Maybe it's to listen to everybody else's ideas, whatever it is for that day.
Okay.
I will do that with, I'm going to keep bringing it back to stand up because that's what I do for a living. I will do that sometimes some nights where I'm feeling really unfocused. I don't know if you've done this, Kelsey, where you kind of go, I don't have anything new to try. So that's not a goal. Like that's always the goal, but you're like, I don't have anything new to try. I'm not trying to get a tape for anything. tonight I'm just going to focus on what can I get out of this set so I feel like I'm getting better. And so I'll go, I'm just going to focus on my facial expressions, or I'm just going to focus on my movements, or I'm going to try to stretch out this joke longer and get a longer laugh out of this act out, like something like that.
I love that.
Very intentional. I should start thinking like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something, because I'm sure other people feel like this in other jobs too, which is a huge drain on your focus, is like, it's all the days are bleeding together. Totally. I don't have anything specific that I want to do right now. I just need to get through the workday.
Yeah, I can break up the monotony of everything. That's cool. I like that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So number three, what should I gain from this situation? Consider what you feel you should gain from the situation, then examine whether this is different from your desires and how these work to modify your behaviors. Okay. So what you want to gain and what you should gain. Number four, what have I done in similar situations in the past? Identify your past actions. Okay, that's helpful. So in what times have you been in an office meeting that turned out to be very productive? You know, what have you done? Number five, do I want to change that? Identify any behaviors that you don't want to repeat. Very important. Number six, if so, how? Identify how you can avoid these actions. Number seven, what do others expect to gain from the situation? Identify and prioritize these details. Oh, okay. So again, stand up. What others expect to gain from the situation? If I'm doing a corporate event, they probably expect to hear some jokes about them and their company.
Yeah.
That I'm never going to do again.
Yeah.
And then very clean jokes that nobody's going to be offended by. Yeah. A lot of times you can tailor what you're focusing on within a workplace situation based on what somebody else is expecting from you and what you want.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to think about it. Number eight, what attention does my environment demand from the situation? For example, I can only speak when it is my turn and I have to use professional language. Okay, kind of just talked about that. Number nine, what information that is entering my attention should be activated? For example, it may be best if I am calm at this point of a phone call or meeting and if I don't ask questions. And finally, what information should be restrained? You can, for instance, hold back frustrations and irrelevant information. For example, teachers and business people may have to convey an emotion that is inconsistent to how they feel. Say they are angry or on edge. Oh, yeah. And that, of course, ties into comedy, too. It all ties into comedy. Whatever you do, I feel like you can apply to those.
Plug it into your life. I love it. Yeah. It's kind of like the grounding exercises when people are getting anxious is like, where am I? What do I smell? What do I see? How do I feel? Like, you know, it's kind of just like, all right, what the fuck is this all about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
What am I doing here? What do I want from this? And that's I feel like those are very good questions to ask if you're even like in the right place to begin with, you know, just like being really intentional, like, what do I want to gain? Am I actually gaining that from being in this position? Yes or no? Maybe I should change some stuff up.
Yeah, getting present. I've brought it up probably the last few episodes now, but doing meditation, and I'm like really trying to stick with the Headspace app, and it's helped a lot. It really does force you to focus in those 10, 15 minutes that you're meditating, at least for that time, to be like, okay, whatever I'm going to continue to think about today, you can continue to think about that, but just for these 10 to 15 minutes, let's try and focus on like the prompts that this person is giving. And that's been really helpful for me.
And you feel like that bleeds into the rest of your day?
And, definitely.
Like, making it easier to focus on things when you want to?
I think a lot of all of this is just stopping.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just once a day, that's better than nothing. But for a lot of us, I know for me, it's like I wake up and I just go until I fall asleep. Like, there isn't a lot of, like, stopping to just reflect on what's happening and stopping and being present. I think we talk about that with not having a lot of structure in our jobs, mm-hmm. that I feel like I start working the moment I wake up and I work until I go to sleep. There's no, like, set hours. There's no set hours that I'm doing a specific thing. It's just, it's whatever I can fit in that day I do.
Oof.
Yeah. And then I wake up and start it all over again. Yeah. Whatever I can fit in. Ugh. So making myself meditate is like 10 minutes where at least everything just stops. Mm. And it kind of like pumps the brakes on what can become like a snowball of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And I think stopping for a little bit at least helps temporarily. Obviously, I still have a long ways to go with all of that. But it's something.
Are you putting like, you know, fun playtime in your day also? Or is it just like all work all day?
It's pretty much all work all day.
Yeah, see, that's, you got to break that shit up.
You know? I know. I try. But
you went to Austin. I thought that's
one weekend though. You got to do a daily fun thing.
Yeah.
Daily fun thing?
Fun. 5 minutes of just doing something. Dancing around your apartment, whatever. Taking a walk. Mm. Just something. Like, it's got to be in there or else it's just all work all the time. And then every 6 months to a year, you take a vacation. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm very black and white.
You got to be
daily.
It's
like I either completely all work or I will go do a vacation where it's all play for like 5 days straight.
Yes.
But on a day-to-day basis, I need to be better. I mean, I do try to, I have like my morning pages, meditation, walk. I try to do that every day.
Yeah.
But that's not, even that to me, I've turned into like, it's part of work. It's part of the to-do list.
Yes.
It's not just like going and having fun.
Yeah.
Right. It's something you have to do.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like staring at your cats for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Just like
staring
at I do play. I'll play with my cats every day. And that is, I know that that's like that's purely good. Just, this isn't work. This isn't doing anything but making me feel happier and making them feel happier. So
that's good. Gotta get some daily shit going, Taylor.
I feel like I do. I try to walk every day.
Okay, what else? What other fun, nice things?
What is there
self-care?
Even to do?
Just anything.
When you're, I feel
you watch a TV show you like.
Yeah.
With not doing anything else, where you're just relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, you can answer emails and stuff.
But
on the
don't.
Couch, but I know, but I do. Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like I do. I feel like Kyle and I, like, at night, we'll watch, like, we just rewatched season one of True Detective because I was like, okay, I can handle it now.
Did you?
Yeah, but we had to do it during the day.
Oh.
I'm like, I can't do it.
I can't.
My God. It's so fucked up. The first season. It's so fucked up.
I don't.
And especially after watching, don't watch it. After watching the third season, where you're like, oh, this was really, like, pretty mild. It's
very,
so good though.
Very palatable. Like not
gory.
No nightmares.
Oh, and the first season is just one long nightmare.
Dude, craziness.
So good though.
So good.
So good. But oh my God.
It will like haunt you. It will change you as a person.
Yeah. Sometimes True Detective is the only thing I feel like I can focus on. Like I've never felt more focused than watching season three of True Detective, like week by week, just 1 hour a week, just like, oh, this is all that matters right now. Like, oh God, I'm so into it. I mean, things that help me focus, I like taking walks, clearing my head. If I do need to get something done, I will kind of like try to turn everything off and just like focus in. Sometimes I'll put on something comforting like The Office and just like have it on in the background because that does weirdly help me out. Essential oils can be helpful, like for like waking you up and kind of making you sort of pep up a little bit. Like more citrusy ones or like peppermint, those are good for that. I mean, drink enough water. I get real foggy headed if I'm not drinking enough water too.
Yeah.
Things like that. I don't know if you guys have anything else.
I like taking baths. Like, honestly, if I feel I can't focus on anything, it means I need a break. It doesn't mean I need to push through. It means I need to go do something else. And then I swear, once I take a break and I feel like I've relaxed a little bit, I come back and that, whatever that situation was, feels so much easier.
Yeah.
You know? So I try to take lots of baths during the week. Listen to some music. I put some essential oil in the bath.
That's nice.
Playing with Maverick every day is really fun and like necessary. I can't not play with him because he needs playtime. So that takes up a good chunk of fun time. Yeah. Cam and I like cook a lot of dinners and have a lot of like nice, like, honestly, several times a week we'll have like a nice little candlelit dinner together where we're not watching TV, no phones allowed. We're just like talking, you know, even if it's just for like a few minutes. Yeah. But yeah, just like anything to just break up the work, you know?
I'm trying to think of people though, too, who do have to kind of push through and don't have a more flexible schedule. I mean, it's even hard because all my tips are like, I know, even a minute, even that's a minute.
That's what my this is what my therapist would say. It's like, but what about those days where it's just back-to-back scheduling? Take 30 seconds, Delaney.
Yeah.
Do some breaths. You have 30 seconds.
That's true.
You know
get
what
a
I mean?
Fun drink.
Anything. Yeah. Just anything. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes, 50 minutes. If that sounds like a huge chunk of time, take 30 seconds, a minute, a 5-minute walk. It's so necessary.
And by fun drink, I mean like a chai tea. don't get crazy in the office. Like, Taylor and Zelene, they taught me.
Before we get, do you have anything else, Kels?
No, it's fine.
Before we get into it, we have a voicemail to answer from one of our lovely patrons. If you want to join Patreon, patreon.com/selfhelpless, you can get featured on the show as well. But before that, I want to give a really exciting announcement. Self-helpless, me, Taylor and Kelsey, we just hired an associate producer, Lauren Mahoney. Yay! Very exciting. She's taking over so much, pretty much everything.
Thank God.
And you guys are just like, it's a huge testament to how far the show has come and how much it's grown. We now like need help running it. Very excited.
She keeps saying, she's like, I don't understand how you guys were doing this all on your own before I got here. And it's kind of true. It's pretty amazing.
So shout out to her. So any kind of correspondence you have on our social media, emails, like everything, it's going to be her. You're going to be seeing her name a lot, so we wanted to just kind of introduce you to her.
She's amazing.
Thanks Lauren.
All right, let's go ahead and play this guy.
This is from Andy.
I think it's Adam.
Yes, from Adam.
Adam, I'm sorry.
Hey, self-helpless crew. First off, let me just say I'm a huge fan. Second, to see three incredible comic minds get together and not only make us laugh, but prove that you give a shit about humanity at large. Incredible. Quick info about me. I'm 41, twice divorced. I have a 5-year-old son. Last October, I decided to first dip my toes into the open waters of stand-up comedy. I've done a few open mics since then. They've gone pretty well. The bigger point of this and me wanting to communicate with you and get some advice is I am also, have a massive drinking problem. It has done nothing but damage in my life. And I guess what I'm looking for is advice and insight, mostly into giving up the drinking, but also on the lighter side, maybe some advice about entering the stand-up world. I only know the first time I landed a huge laugh, it was better than being drunk, but yeah, I can't... I'm a newcomer and I can't maintain that every day. So anything you can offer firstly about quitting drinking, any insight you have from your own life or that you've gained from other comics or friends, you know. And secondly, just maybe a little helping hand on your beginnings in stand-up comedy. If you can't address both, let's tackle the drinking. I don't want to take up too much time on one of your podcasts, but again, I'm a massive fan, and I appreciate anything you have to offer on these subjects. So this is your new pal, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
signing off. Thank you for anything you can offer, and again, I love you guys. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. We love you too.
It was really a sweet, honest message.
Yeah, that was
very
a lot.
Appreciate
I mean,
that.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak to the starting in stand-up because I've never drank, so I don't know anything about that. Maybe you can
I
talk
can
more
to
that.
Yeah.
As far as starting in stand-up, I mean, we've given this advice before. You just got to do it. I mean, it's so great that you say, like, it's better than drinking. Like, the fact that you have that to throw yourself into. Because getting good at stand-up, it takes so much time. And it takes it just takes so many reps. And the beginning is sort of maddening, but it's also kind of the best part.
And addicting.
It is. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's super addicting in a good way. And you're just, there's something that you can kind of pour yourself into. You get to, I don't know where you live, but hopefully there's a great stand-up comedy scene there. Mm-hmm. And if there's not, maybe you can cultivate one. You get to meet all kinds of different people that you wouldn't meet. I mean, just throw yourself into it as much as you can with a five-year-old. I'm sure that's also very demanding. But like, just get up as much as humanly possible, write as much as possible, watch a lot of great stand-ups so that, you know, you kind of learn from that. I mean, that's all the advice I have to give on starting stand-up.
Yeah. I think we've talked a little bit about before, like, getting a writing partner is super fun. That was, like, my favorite part, is just getting together with a few friends and telling each other our jokes and, like, helping each other add to them or give each other ideas and, like, you know, go into some open mics together or whatever it might be. I feel like having like a little community is so helpful and will kind of keep you in it. I know that my initial community in stand-up, I ended up being the only one who stayed with it, but it was so nice to have like a little family when you were first starting this like huge, daunting, scary thing. It made it a lot more palatable. But it sounds like, it sounds like, you know, you already kind of like it. You got that feeling. And that's all you really need is to keep going. It's like you get that one big laugh. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I got to keep doing this.
Such a rush.
Yeah.
I would really recommend going and listening to our sobriety episode. If you haven't already, we had on my fiance, Kane. You can also, I know that Kane has people message him on social media asking about getting sober. So he's totally open to, helping answer any questions you have. You can message him. It's Kane Holloway. You can look him up on Instagram. He's tagged in a bunch of our stuff on our social medias as well. I know for Kane, it took a really massive change. Like, he went from drinking to, okay, I am committed to being sober, so I am going to start going to AA meetings, I'm going to get an AA sponsor, and I'm going to get into therapy. So for him, it was like he really was super, super active in getting sober. And I know it's different for everybody, but Kane was able to recognize that it was more than just like, hey, I don't really like who I am when I drink. It's like there is addiction here. And it sounds like from what you're saying that there's addiction with you too, because while I feel like stand-up is a really healthy outlet, it, you know, emotionally you would want to get to a place where you're not like using stand-up in place of drinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people can really help you with in therapy, to talk about like what are kind of the underlying things there that you are maybe masking with alcohol. Because I know for Kane, there were so many things that he just didn't even realize that were underneath that he wasn't dealing with. And he would use alcohol to kind of like numb all of that out. So I really recommend therapy. I really, really recommend AA and getting a sponsor. I know that Kane loves his sponsor so much. And just know like you are not alone. There are so many people out there who are recovering alcoholics who are struggling with addiction. And if you want to get help, which sounds like that's where you're at, just take those first few steps. Look up where meetings are in your area. We've mentioned betterhelp.com before. If you don't want to go see a therapist like in person, betterhelp.com/selfhelpless is a great way to do some therapy on your phone if you're interested in that. But yeah, there's so many resources. So just best of luck, man.
Absolutely. And it's a daily practice. I'm sure Kane goes to, I don't know how many meetings, but I'm sure it's quite frequently. And when it comes to addicts and my own family, I know it's a daily thing. It's a daily meeting. It's very intentional. And it's just a whole lifestyle change.
Yeah, it's a daily choice.
And do it now before you start getting booked for shows. Because when you get booked for shows, they will pay you in free drink tickets.
Yeah.
And you just got to say no to those.
Especially if it's a bad show. Yeah. It's super easy to think like, oh, well, let me just make this go away. And know that you will have bad shows. Like, especially starting out, there are just... That's the hardest part of stand-up is, like, you have to fail publicly.
Yeah.
And we still all fail publicly. We still all have, like, those times. But especially in the beginning, just know, like, there's going to be moments where you're like, oh, my God, I want to, like, unzip my own skin and crawl out of it. This is a horrible feeling. Yeah. But the beauty of stand-up is that you can also feel amazing the very next set. So just stick with it. Be, like, really kind to yourself. Stand-up is one of the hardest jobs you can ever pursue. Yeah. And, thank you so much for calling in and for being
that's such a good point. You get paid in drink tickets. So many shows are in bars. comedy clubs where people are drinking. Now. So definitely, I think that's such good advice, is trying to get some meetings and stuff under your belt before you even get more entrenched into a scene that you're heavily around substance abuse.
Yeah. But so, also there are a lot of sober comedians as well.
There's
a lot of
people
who have become sober. And so just don't be afraid to talk to people and reach out about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to give Cam a quick shout out. Cam just got promoted at his job. Yay! And I just wanted to say, good job, babe. Love you. Even though you don't really listen to the show.
Yay,
love
you. Cam.
Oh, good job,
His family will tell him, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to come out on March 11th. I'll be headlining the Spokane Comedy Club March 28th through the 30th, and I will be headlining Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids April 4th through the 6th. So go to kelseycook.com. I'll be in like D.C. in May, as well as Tacoma. Lots of tour dates coming up. So if you're a helpster and you want to come see us live, you can go to our websites and check out where we're going to be next.
Yep, and I will be at the DC Improv the 21st through 24th of March. So if you are in Washington, DC, please come to those. It's going to be awesome shows. I'm at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City April 5th and 6th. It might be the 4th through 6th. I think it's the 5th and 6th, though, according to their website. And April 18th through 20th, I'm really excited. I know we have listeners in San Diego. I am going to be headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store the 18th through the 20th, which is just like, that's going to be really special and cool for me because, you know, I have friends of mine on the show. It's like really where I started. It's where I would wait outside before I turned 21, like on a bench, and they like let me go in and tell jokes, and then I had to leave again. To be headlining it is really cool.
Taylor,
so
that's so cool.
Yeah, so if you're in San Diego, please come to those April 18th through 20th and ttomcomedy.com for tour dates.
Yeah, and then you can meet all of us in person at Kathy Heller's Dreamtopia event, which we're going to be at March 14th.
March 14th.
And I think it's a two-day event, the 14th and 15th, but we'll be there for the 14th if in Los Angeles. We posted the information on our self-helpless Facebook group, but you can basically just Google Dreamtopia Kathy Heller. You'll see the info there.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you. We love you guys.
Bye. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Why won't it